Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate. Join with me, as always, my co-host, Tone.
Good evening, boys.
Tone is back in the studio after a month layoff. He just decides he doesn't want to work anymore, doesn't come to his job. But, no, hey, welcome back. So super happy to have you back in the studio. Went ahead and beat all of us in their little basketball we play pregame, so good to have you back.
Feels great to be back, boys.
Awesome. And moderator AJ is in the house.
Yo, what up, boys?
What's up, AJ? And behind the scenes editor D-Say is in the building. Boys are back in town. Boys are back in town. I love that.
Boys are back, baby.
Yeah, it's good to have everyone back. And last week was kind of wild in the NFL. I'm sure a lot of people had their tough weeks. Our guy Ross Tucker had a pretty rough week. He had a round robin that he played that didn't go so well. I only went 500. Tone went 4-3. So we definitely expect better out of ourselves. But after the way we've started the season, 50%, what was yours, 55, 50, something like that percent, dang near about 4 weeks.
Mine was 68, but it's fine.
Oh, 4-3?
Something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah. But still.
Yeah, after a week like last week, I think it's to be expected. You got to come
back. Oh, damn, I'm way off. 57, I'll take it.
There we go.
But still, with the start we had, we're still up big units.
Big.
So we're just fine with maybe our percent going down a smidge. But we're going to bounce right back. There's a lot of good games on. We have a game in Europe. We have Urban Meyer, who's out on the loose. But with all that being said, go ahead. Moderator AJ, can you run us down what happened last week? What's going on tonight?
Real quick, it's 50 episodes, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Happy
good call.
50. Congratulations to the boys. Happy 50th. It's been fun thus far. So, yeah.
Hit us with our recaps. It was a tough week, but We're still up big.
Yeah. So our guy Nate went 4-4 for the week. That brings him to a 0 units gained, but no units lost. Keep that in mind.
That's the gambling mentality.
So Nate's going to remain 67.85% for the season. He is still up plus 10 units. So that's pretty good. We have Father Tone come in. He went 4-3 last week. 1 unit gained on the week. That's going to put Tone now at 65.21%. He is up 7 units for the year. Nicely done. We had no luck at ends last week, but we did have another head-to-head. And, Nate, you continue to hold the percentage and unit lead, but Tone is grasping hold of the head-to-head matchup. He's 2-0 as it stands. So, overall, boys, great work. I'm loving what I'm seeing as far as the percentages go. The luck at end is still 81%. Plus 5 units. So if you listen to the show and you hear Luck It In, I think we would all advise to lock that in.
Yeah, I agree. Our Luck It Ins are killing it. I'll sacrifice a 0-2 start on the head-to-heads just to maintain mine and his, just the way we've been betting this year. So that's just fine with me. There's obviously going to be more head-to-heads in the future, and we'll see how they turn out. But shout out to you, Tone 2-0.
I have a little question for you guys. I know it's a team effort, first and foremost, but when we're talking yearly percentages, yearly units. I mean, is there any little competition between the two of you?
For me, no.
No?
I think it's just for the show. Like, okay, we want the show to do good. So, obviously, I ain't mad about being 2-0 on him. But he's not mad about being up in the season. So, right. I think we want to, I'm rooting for him because it's good for the show.
Same goes for me because we started this with the full idea of making you guys money and performing at our best, and we even said, hey, if this isn't quite for us and we don't do so good on air, maybe we'll just cut it. But it hasn't been the case, and we've been killing it ever since we started the podcast, and we're going to keep killing it. So we appreciate everyone listening. We're rooting for each other. We are a team. But I think our only competition really is our DraftKings. We always kind of want to see one another beat one another because it's we got a lot of our buddies in our league. So.
Someone's got to win.
Yeah.
Sure. Might as well be me.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, now that we've opened up the episode, again, big shout out to the squad for 50 episodes in. We have recapped last week's picks. We went over your guys' yearly totals. And you know what that means.
What did he say? Oh,
yeah. All right. What did he say? So you guys know the deal. I'm going to give you guys a what did he say trivia question for the week. We always try to keep it relevant to events or activities that happened in the week prior to. It's been posted to social media. So hopefully we can get some fan interaction on this question. As it stands, LCP 2, DSA 3. So let's see if you guys can make up some ground on our guy here.
All right. Let's see what you got.
All right. What did he say? Cordell Patterson had 3 receiving touchdowns last week. He is classified as a running back, FYI. The second time a running back has done that this year. Aaron Jones also had 3 receiving touchdowns earlier this year.
Week 2, I believe, right?
Which running back holds the record for receiving touchdowns in a game with 4?
Okay.
Wow, okay.
That's the question. I like that. It's within the last 10 years. Think about it for the episode, and we'll come back to it.
Yeah, crazy. Cordero Patterson was actually drafted as a wide receiver from Tennessee. He went to the Vikings, and he was a big-time kick returner, and he just didn't really have hands. But look at him as a running back now. It's just crazy. 3 receiving and that's a good question. I have a few names in mind.
Okay.
But I'm going to stay on TikTok Live and make sure everyone knows that I'm not cheating.
Yeah, fun fact about Cordell Patterson, Christian Mingle actually picked him up in the waiver wire.
Ooh, very nice pickup.
Did you put him in last week?
Yep, number 3 running back currently.
Wow, good
awesome,
for you.
Awesome pickup.
Good for you.
Yeah, yep, so pretty cool. Let's go ahead and jump into the lines for the week. Starting off with Thursday night, we have the 3-1 Los Angeles Rams. They are minus 3 points. They are traveling to Seattle to take on the 2-2 Seahawks. Over-under for this game is 54.5 points.
This should be a pretty fun matchup, I'd say. For me, there's one stat that stuck out, and I can't ignore it. So Russell Wilson has never lost by more than a touchdown at home during a primetime game.
Okay, I love that stat.
So I heard that. I don't know if it's completely true. I didn't get a chance to double-check it, but it seems like it's got to be accurate enough. For me, I have to tease the Seahawks. So I don't know if I trust them to quite win plus 8.5, but the Rams aren't perfect. They've been tough. So far, they beat the Bears, the Colts, a banged-up Bucks team. They lost to the Cardinals at home. I know the Seahawks haven't had a fantastic resume this year, but I think either team can win this game. If you're going to give me Russell Wilson at home plus more than a touchdown, I'll take it all day. So that'll be the first leg of my teaser. I'll take the Seahawks plus 8.5.
Yeah,
plus 9, actually.
Plus 9, yep.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Yeah, I like that pick. The first thing I noticed is the high total, 54.5. I know it's a Thursday night game. Anything can happen. And you're seeing Van Jefferson coming out for the Rams out of nowhere.
Your boy.
You would think he was the fifth target behind Higbee, DeSean Jackson, obviously Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. And then you got Darrell Henderson, who averaged over 6 yards a carry last game, and he's really getting healthy. I really do like this Rams team, but it's a Thursday. I won my pick last Thursday. I'm going to pass on this one. But like Tom was saying, Seattle might not have the best resume, but their schedule was tough. They beat a Colts team that, the jury's still out for, but they lost to the Titans, barely. They lost to the Vikings, who I think are way better than what their record shows. And they also lost to the Niners, I'm sorry. And then now they got the Rams. So the first 5 weeks has been brutal. And a lot of people counted Russell out early, so I do like that. First leg of your teaser at 9 points. I think that covers all day. So I'm just going to pass it. And, real quick, Seattle is top 8 in these offensive categories. It's passing touchdowns, yards per pass attempt, rushing touchdowns, yards per carry, and yards per drive. So their offense is no slouches. Maybe you look at that over, too.
So good news, boys, for Sunday. Usually we have to wait till 1 o'clock to watch the first game of the week. But wake up early Sunday because we have a game at 9:30 a.m. Kicking off in London, England. We have the 1-3 New York Jets plus 3 points. They are taking on the 1-3 Atlanta Falcons. Pretty exciting game. Over-under for this game is 46. And my question for you guys is, as sports bettors, do oddities like playing in London, playing in Mexico City, kicking off at 9:30 a.m., does this sway you from taking action, or does that not really bother you guys?
I would say it sways me. I generally don't like to mess with these games. I think it's an awesome opportunity for the NFL, even for the other countries, to get to enjoy this experience. But generally, I like to stay away. Sometimes it's hard, though, because you wake up and the game's on and you might want to throw some action down. But I think a good rule of thumb is just to stay away and observe it from the sidelines.
Yeah, it sways me slightly, not entirely, especially when I have a pretty good read on a couple teams early in the season like I do with these two. But if, like I remember the Browns-Vikings went to London and the Vikings ended up stomping on them. Not to rub it in or anything, but you'd never know what's going to happen. And it's pretty crazy that NFL is really flexing on London with these two teams we're throwing out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that a pass for both the boys then?
Oh, no. Oh, we were just answering the question.
I gotcha.
I'm actually going to have a take on this.
Okay.
And I'm going to take the Falcons giving those 3 points. The Jets are coming off pretty high. They beat up a beat-up team, the Titans. They didn't have Julio or AJ, and they had a bunch of no-names that Tannehill was throwing to. King Henry had a good game, obviously, but it wasn't enough. So the Jets are probably still celebrating, and the Falcons are coming off 3 straight hard-fought games where they are right in the game. I know that Buccaneers score was a little swayed, but 2 pick-sixes in the fourth always is not going to make the score look good. So they've been playing a lot better football. Matt Ryan had 4 touchdown passes as we kind of chimed on about Cordarrelle Patterson, but I think this Falcons team goes out, gets it done. I'm just not sold on the Jets. I think they're poorly coached, and their defense is good, but their offense is really bad. So I'm going to take the Falcons, giving that 3 points. I think they get them by at least a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going to ultimately pass this game because, again, it's not only just the London thing. It's also that I don't know what the deal is with either one of these teams. I know the Falcons have had some hard, tough games, but I still don't have a good read on them. The Jets finally got a dub last week. I don't know about Zach Wilson. He is extremely inconsistent to me. I don't want to really back him too much. I did take him last week, which was awesome, but nonetheless, I'm going to pass this game.
All right.
That's fair for sure.
So Sunday at 1 p.m., we have the 3-1 Green Bay Packers. They are -3 points, traveling to Cincinnati to take on the 3-1 Cincinnati Bengals. Over under for this game, 50.5 points.
This is a pretty interesting line, I'd say. So I don't know, some might call it fishy. For me, I'm going to have to complete the second leg of my teaser with this particular game. So
interesting.
I know the Packers have won 3 straight. They beat the Lions, they beat the banged up 49ers, they beat the Steelers, who are very underwhelming. I haven't been impressed. For me, it seems like something's off there. So both these teams are top 10 defensively, but the Packers are a little banged up right now. They probably will be without their best cornerback in Jaire Alexander. Who knows about their linebacker situation, but I think the Bengals can take advantage of this. The Bengals showed a ton of heart last week. They came back, I know it was the Jaguars, but nonetheless, they face adversity. They're at home. They're on extended rest. Give me the Bengals +9 to complete the second leg of my teaser with Seattle. So Seattle +9, the Bengals +9.
Good call. Yeah, I have a take on this. I'm not taking the spread in any way. I love the under at 50.5 right now. We were just talking about how beat up their defense is. Jaire is, in my opinion, the best corner in the league right now, better than Jalen. But, yeah, without him there, Tony mentioned T. Higgins, but even if he doesn't play, they still have Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd. And Uzoma, who their tight end, who really went off last week and won me some cashola in DraftKings, so I appreciate you, sir. And Joe Mixon, I know he's questionable for the game, but I'm sure he's going to end up playing. But I like these. I love this under. I mean, at 50.5, I think they have it set way too high. So I'm going to go ahead and with the Bengals at home, I'm sure they're going to try to slow down Aaron Rodgers, keep him off the field, have Joe Burrow maybe throw 30, 35 passes underneath. Why not just kind of keep that offense off the field? And I think it'll be a slower paced game. So I like the under at 50.5 in that Packers-Bengals game.
I like it.
Thank you.
We have a divisional battle for our next game here. We have the 0-4 Detroit Lions, +7.5 points, traveling to Minnesota to take on the 1-3 Vikings. over under for this game is 49. And before you guys give me your takes on this one, Nate, I just want to ask you, as a Vikings fan, someone who was pretty high on the Vikings when we did our NFC outlook, they're at 1-3. What do you think about the Vikings thus far, and do you see them coming through this and still making a push for the playoffs?
So if you were to ask me the same question last year in the format that it was with 16 games, I would be a lot less confident than I am now with 17. I think this is a huge spot for the Vikings to get themselves a win, move to 2-3. I'm not entirely impressed with the division. Obviously, I think Rodgers is going to end up running away with it, but there's plenty of wild card spots for us to get into. I'm not giving up quite yet because we have played really tough football. I think the game we played last week against the Browns was the worst we've looked all season, and especially because the Browns looked terrible as well. The Browns ended up winning a pretty ugly game. Vikings was, they were just uglier. So I am not giving up on the season. 1-3, I actually think they have a pretty good matchup coming up this week for them to bounce back and turn the season around. And if they lose, then you'll have to ask me the same question. I might have a different answer.
Yeah, so for this one, we kind of had discrepancy this morning because, you know, we record on Wednesday evenings and the lines tend to change. So we try to lock in our lines Wednesday morning. This morning, this line was 1.5. It went up to 3.
Immediately.
So that changes things significantly. You know, if you're a serious bettor, you understand how important that 1.5 is. I love the Vikings on teaser, -1.5. -3 on the teaser just seems like a push at best. I still think they'll cover it, but I can't take it. Another thing I really like in this game I'm not going to take is the Vikings team total over 28.5.
Love that.
I hate that hook, so for the show, I'm not going to take it. I might take it in my personal life. I'm going to go ahead and take the over. So I'm going to take over 49. You know, you may want to fade this. I'm not feeling confident about this one. I really wanted the Vikings -1.5. I still wanted to have a take on it once the line shifted. So I'm going to take the over. Again, if you fade it, I definitely understand it. But I feel like Minnesota's in a great bounce back spot. Last week was ugly for both these teams. So it was ugly for the Lions versus the Bears. It was ugly for the Vikings versus the Browns. They combined for 21 points. I think that this week is going to be significantly different. Both those teams might score over 21 points. So we'll see how it goes. I could be completely wrong, but I will take the over 49.
Yeah, so last time the Lions actually played in Minnesota, your host was actually there. I was at the stadium. It was pretty cool. And the final ended up being 19-7, which I expected a lot more of a shootout, but they had David Blau starting quarterback for the Lions that week. There's a name for you. And so I don't like that over. I hate 49 for some reason. If they go put it at 50, then it's probably going to tempt me to go over. But obviously with the Packers game, way under. But 49 scares me, so I'm going to pass on that. And I'm just kind of going to take what Tone had mentioned. I'm going to tease. I'm even going to take it down to 3. Because if the Vikings don't win by more than a touchdown, or at least a touchdown, I'll be very surprised. Maybe a 24-20 game, possibly. So on my first leg of my teaser, I'm going to take the Vikings down to just giving 3 points, because I even think the spread could go a little higher than 9, unfortunately, maybe 9.5, 10. So I'm going to take it down to a field goal. I'll just fine with a push. I don't know. I didn't feel comfortable with any other tees this week other than putting the Vikings with my other one. So I'm going to let you guys know what my second leg of my teaser is, but I'm going to take the Vikings down to 3.
I would. I think if that line goes up to 10,
you take the Lions.
You got to take the Lions, personally. Oh, yeah. Honestly, I would probably take the Lions at 9, but I'm not going to touch it. But
right,
nonetheless.
I don't disagree. I mean, the Vikings really haven't done anything to prove that they are a 9-point favorite against anybody in the league.
Right.
So
I love that -3. I just can't take it after having 1.5. So I feel it.
I got something good for you guys on this next pick.
Okay.
All right, well, let's get to it then. We have the 3-1 Denver Broncos. They are +1.5 points. Traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the 1-3 Steelers. Over under for this game is 40 points.
So I'm not sold on the Broncos. I'm sorry to editor D say, he's a big Broncos guy. I'm not sold on them. They haven't really beat anyone great. They lost last week, and I don't even think the Broncos are a playoff team. I know they're 3-1, started 3-0. I don't see them making it. And a lot of hate's been spewed towards the Steelers team, 1-3. And I think Big Ben, he might not have an amazing game, but with Najee Harris in the backfield, they will end up winning this game. And this is going to be the NLOD of the week.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the Steelers giving 1.5 to the Broncos. and the Steelers are home. They're getting a lot of guys back from injury. I think the Steelers are in the same spot for, as the Vikings are, that this is a huge bounce back week where they can really turn their season around right now. I think this is a perfect spot for the Steelers, not only to win, but to cover, maybe even give them by double digits. So I like the Steelers team minus 1.5 NLOD.
Wow. Okay. You really love to see that.
I love this pick.
Yeah, I think that's a really good pick. So it's a really tough matchup here because Denver has so much uncertainty. So not only were they uncertain when they played their subpar schedule, but you don't know what's up with Teddy Covers. I took him last week and it came back to bite me in the butt, unfortunately. It's hard to say. For me, I was going to pass this game. And then the more I thought about it, Steelers at minus 1.5 might be a gift, might be a luck it in.
Oh.
So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to luck in the Steelers minus 1.5 at home. I think they're in a great bounce back spot. We know we have a tough division. The Broncos on the road, uncertainty at quarterback, just an uncertain team in general. You know, they have wide receivers are hurt. They're just kind of a mess. I liked them last week plus 7 at home, but I can't do it. The Pittsburgh has lost 3 straight games, but they played the Raiders, the Bengals, and Green Bay.
Yep.
We don't know how good all those teams are, but they're not trash. So
exactly.
I have to agree. We're going to look that in, and that's going to be the Steelers minus 1.5.
All 3-3-1 teams like the Broncos, and I think they finally get their revenge on these one-loss teams. But
Love it.
And Pittsburgh's 1-4 against the spread of their last 5 games. They are bound to cover. So, yeah, that's a luck it in NLOD, the first ever in the history of the show, I think.
Love it.
All right, we have the 1-3 Miami Dolphins. They are plus 10 points, double digits. They're traveling to Tampa Bay to take on the 3-1 Buccaneers. Over-under for this game is 48. And, Nate, I just want to give you a little shout-out because last week we covered some prop bets for Tampa Bay, Tom Brady versus New England. I think a lot of us expected Tom to go nuts, and he actually had a pretty tough game. Looked like the pressure got to him. So do you guys think he gets back to he was averaging like 4 to 5 touchdowns a game. Think he gets back to that, or do you think he's still a little shook from last week?
I'm going to pass this game. So I don't know what happens with Tom. I think there was so much attention on last week's game. Now you have an underwhelming Miami team at home. If anything, I would lean towards the Dolphins, to be honest with you. They were really frustrated with that loss versus the Colts last week. We know that you can pass all over this banged-up Bucs team, so they might be able to keep it close. I'm going to pass it, but I don't know. Maybe Tom regresses this week.
Not only did they lose to the Colts last week, they got shut out against the Bills the week before. So I thought this Dolphins team was going to be way better in the offseason, but with injuries to Tua and just the defense not looking like they did last year. But, yeah, I appreciate the shout-out. I think you dropped some prop questions on me, and I was just all over the unders on the Brady lines. So,
yeah, really underwhelming game. I was so excited for it, and the game sucked. Mac Jones looked solid, but the game itself sucked.
Matthew Judon looked really good. But, no, it was a good – it was. You love games that suck when you take the under. It's great. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to pass this game because the Dolphins need a huge bounce back in a huge way, but they're not going to do it against the Bucs. So I don't know how much they're going to lose by. I don't even want to mess with this. So I'm going to pass this one.
Okay, we have the 2-2 New Orleans Saints. They are minus 2 points. They are traveling to Washington to take on the 2-2 football team. Over-under for this game, 44.5 points.
Yeah, so real quick, respect Taylor Heineke. He's out there doing his thing with the injury to Fitzpatrick. He's got them to 2-2, but I'm really not sure about either of these teams. The Saints are 8-3 against the spread in their last 11 games, and Washington's 2-5 in the last 7 overall games, and they're ranked 31st in pass offense, the Saints are. So that's a crazy stat. So I don't want to – I just can't do anything on this one, especially at that 2 points. It probably would be a nice little leg of a teaser. I don't want to touch it. I have no idea what either of these teams are about. The Saints look great 1 week and suck the other, and same with the Washington football team. Washington has not beat anybody good. So I'm a pass.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I'm not sold on this New Orleans team, especially after losing last week at home. You're up 21-10 versus the Giants.
Right.
I'm also not sold on this Washington team. So I think they have a lot of good offensive weapons. Logan Thomas is out for 4 weeks. That's a big blow. He's a really tough player. Love Scary Terry. McKissick has been an awesome backup to Antonio Gibson. They have a lot going on offense. I think Heineke's actually doing better than we thought he could.
Right.
So I don't hate him. I think he's probably maybe the better quarterback in this game. I can't take it. There's too much uncertainty. I'm going to watch this one from the sideline. I will also pass this game.
And they got Curtis Samuel back in that offense. I don't know if you mentioned him, but he's back. So, yeah, I'm going to watch and probably analyze and see who's actually the better team, because right now I have absolutely no idea.
I would lean the Washington football team, especially on a teaser, but I'm going to pass it.
Yeah, on a teaser for sure. I would lean Saints, not tease, but we'll see. That's why I'm not taking it. But I think, yeah, what's our next game?
All right, so we had some breaking news earlier this morning. The Panthers acquired Stephon Gilmore from the Patriots for a 6th-round pick. He's a 4-time Pro Bowler, former Defense Player of the Year in 2019, and that's what takes us to our next game. We have the 1-3 Philadelphia Eagles, plus 3.5, traveling to Carolina to take on those Panthers, which are 3-1. Over-under is 45 for this game. What do you guys think about the pickup? What do you guys think about the game?
So, I'm not sure if he's going to end up playing this Sunday, but I'm not going to put that in my bet because I'm going to end up taking the Eagles, getting that 3.5 points. I know they're on the road, but I'm not sold on this Panthers team. I know they've been playing really tough. I love Sam Darnold in this offense. I'm not giving up on Jalen Hurts quite yet. I don't think they're going to end up winning this game, but I think they can cover a field goal. They fought really hard against the Chiefs last week, and I don't know. The Panthers only beat Houston, the Jets, and a real bipolar Saints team. So I'm going to just chill on anything the Panthers are right now until Stephon Gilmore really gets utilized in that defense. So if he's out, I might as well just take the Eagles getting 3.5 because they are 2-5 against the spread in the last 7 games. So I think they're due to cover.
Hey, so my only problem with that pick is because I like the Eagles initially as well, but they just have too many injuries for me. So they're going to be without their left guard, their left tackle, their right tackle, and their best defensive end. So for me, that's too much uncertainty, especially with that much of your offensive line being out. I know they're a solid squad, but I'm going to take the over. So I want to take the Panthers. At first, I want to take the Eagles, and I want to take the Panthers. Then I just decided there's probably going to be some points in this game. Sam Darnold's been playing awesome. He's really been playing well. DJ Moore's doing awesome. They just have a lot of weapons. So we'll see how this defense is once they get Gilmore. But for this week, I'm just going to go ahead and take the over 45. I think both these teams can score. I think Jalen Hurts is very talented. I like this Panthers defense, but they might have got exposed a little bit versus the Cowboys. So I'll go ahead and take the over 45.
And our inside sources, a.k.a. DSA, informed us that Christian McCaffrey is back to practice. So he may actually play this week.
Love the over.
I just feel he's not someone you want to rush back.
No, I agree.
I agree.
Please take your time with him.
Next week would be perfect.
Yes, I agree.
Because I have the Eagles. Anyway.
All right. So our next game, we have the 2-2, extremely underwhelming Tennessee Titans. They're actually minus 4 points. They are traveling to Jacksonville to take on Urban Meyer and the Jaguars. Over-under for this game, 48.5 points.
This is a game where, honestly, I would love to take the Jaguars because they're in a weird spot as a organization, as a team. So we know, like, there's a lot of disrespectful things going on inside there and out, honestly. So for me, I think they're in an awesome position to cover because no one wants to bet on them. But I'm going to go ahead and pass it. Also, the Titans are pretty banged up, so.
Yeah. Are the Titans good? Are they actually good this
no,
year?
No, they're not.
So this is the same Jaguars team that the Bengals were giving 7.5 points to last week. Granted, they were at home, but now you think the Bengals are 3.5 points better than the Titans. Maybe take out that 3 points because of the home field advantage, a half point better. I'm not sold on this Titans team this year. And obviously we were talking about there was a lot of stuff going on there in Jacksonville. And I won't mention it. You've already seen it all over the news press. But the Titans got blown out by Arizona. They barely beat Seattle. They beat out a broken-ankled Carson Wentz. And then they just got beat by the Jets. So I'm actually going to go with my favorite pick of all time, Trevor Lawrence. And I think the Jaguars cover. And I'm going to take them getting 4 points. And I'm not even saying that they're going to win the game. They're going to keep it close. It's probably going to be a three-point game, especially at home. And there's, I mean, the biggest thing for Urban Meyer right now is if he even goes out and gets a win. And then everyone's going to be talking about the Titans losing to the Jets and Jags back-to-back. So I think it's going to be a big thing. So I like the Jags getting 4 points.
Okay. So my question for you guys, not for like the sake of the podcast or anything like that, really just to shoot the shit. I mean, you guys love sports, and obviously there's levels to morality. I get that. But like, as a fan of a team, an athlete, or like coaches, does what they do off the field really bother you guys at all, or could you care less?
It bothers me. I mean, especially the severity of it. Obviously, if it's something small, like I know Urban Meyer's married this and that, but it could have been worse as far as what he did.
Leading his team to go 0-4 is way worse than getting... Okay. That's what I was thinking.
I think it's way worse.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think one thing that's, you know, extremely underrated for our king from Akron, Ohio...
Thank you.
...is that he's been famous for 20-plus years, easily. And since I'm sure 17. He's not been a saint always, but, man, he's never gotten troubled. He's exemplified.
He's got a really nice PR team.
What he should be. So, which is all, yeah, he does. Again, I'm not saying he's perfect, but it's nice when you see guys doing good.
Yeah.
And not that I need everyone to do good, but when I see guys that, you know, do these despicable things off the field, I can't fuck with them anymore.
No. Okay.
There's one.
Yeah. No,
I just can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's minor, I definitely lost respect for Urban when you're doing that when you have been married.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But that's not going to like deter me from rooting for the Jaguars. But when you have guys like Greg Hardy, that's extreme, and there's definitely levels to it.
I can't
believe
yeah, like I said, there are definitely levels. So
sure.
Yeah, okay. And like
overall, though, I'd prefer him just be like good dudes. Even if you're not a good dude, but you look like it, like LeBron. Yeah. I don't know that he's a great dude in person. I hope he is, but he looks like it.
Yeah,
and that's at least do that shit.
Yeah, I mean, especially with his popularity, you would expect once he does something really small wrong, people would jump all over it because he's the most hated athlete of all time, in my opinion. So I think if he done anything wrong, that people would be just dying to get that out. And he's with his high school sweetheart from good old Akron. He's got a beautiful family. He's a great dad, from what I see. Obviously, I don't know the guy, but yeah, I agree with you. He exemplifies what an athlete should be. So for sure. I love that.
All right, next game we got the 1-3 New England Patriots coming off of a emotional, exhausting game, I'm sure. They are -9 points. They're traveling to Houston to take on the 1-3 Texans. Over under for this game, 40 points.
So I'm going to pass the game. I just want to kind of bring up one thing that we did end up talking about in the offseason here. We did our preseason predictions, and Houston over-under was 4 wins, and we thought that was crazy. I'm pretty sure we lucked in that they were going under. And
yeah,
it looks exactly like that because they're getting 9 points to a Patriots team that I don't think they're good enough to give anyone 9 points. So I'm not going to touch it. I would lean towards the under because it's only at 40. So I don't want to touch it, but I would lean that under.
It's hard to touch this game, you know?
Right.
There was so much emotion last week in that Patriots game. I'm happy they end up coming out and winning, but I have to take Houston at home, +9.
Oh.
It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right, but that's the move.
I love it.
That's a lot of points. I know Davis Mills is bad, but he's not as bad as – this team is not as bad as they appear to be. They've had some tough competition. So last 3 weeks they played Buffalo, who's doing awesome. Carolina, which we know their defense is a little suspect, but overall they've been playing well. They played Cleveland. Cleveland's defense and team overall has been great. And then they beat Jacksonville. So I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots. I think the Patriots were off an emotional week. They're on the road. I don't know if they should be giving anyone double digits.
Right.
So they still have a rookie quarterback. They're just fine. So I could be wrong. I could eat these words next week, but I'll take Houston +9.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is the perfect spot for the Texans to cover. We're not saying not win.
But
yeah, no,
cover.
I think this is
9 points.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love every point you made. I don't want to touch it, but I'm rooting for it. I think
I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad it's not a best bet. That's how I felt about Jaguars too, because I like them. But
I'm glad we split those.
That worked out good.
No way we both missed, right?
Right.
All right, let's jump to the 4 o'clock kickoff games. We have the 2-2 Chicago Bears. They are +5.5 points. They are traveling to Las Vegas to take on the 3-1 Raiders. Over under for this game, 44.5 points.
For me, there's just too much uncertainty in this game, especially with the Bears. So we know Montgomery's out. I don't trust Justin Fields on the road. Although I did just see across the bottom line that they announced Justin Fields will be the starter going forward,
which
is awesome. He deserves that. I don't trust him on the road in this tough Vegas environment. But I also don't want to take the Raiders. So I'm going to pass this game. I like the Raiders tease down just to win because I can't imagine that the Bears go in and beat Vegas. But Vegas could be in a letdown spot. So I'm going to go ahead and pass the game.
Yeah, I love what you mentioned about Justin Fields going into that environment there in Las Vegas. So I'm going to kind of ride off that, and I'm going to take the under at 44.5. The Raiders, I mean, they only scored 14 points against a very average Chargers team, and they're coming off a short week. So I know they're at home, but I don't see a lot of points being scored on this game, and I love where it's at 44.5. I know you probably maybe want 45, just a little bit more, but I don't think it touches that. And the Bears have only scored 24 points, or even came close to scoring 24 points. They scored 24 against a weak Lions team. But other than that, I mean, you've seen what they did against the Browns, and they're just, I don't think there's going to be a lot of points. So under 44.5, I think that's a steal.
Okay, so you guys know that I'm a sucker for prop bets.
Yeah.
And we're on subject. So last week when we talked, Matt Nagy held the top spot as the favorite in odds to be the first NFL coach fired.
Ooh.
Now, yesterday he did slip to the second spot. We have Urban Meyer -200. Matt Nagy's at +200.
Mike Zimmer.
Mike Zimmer is third, +500. And do you want to take a guess at the number four rounding out?
Adam Gase.
Joe Judge at +700.
Wow. One of the New York teams, I figured, but they both got a win last week, so.
Yeah, so out of those four.
In overtime.
Out of those four, I mean, who do you guys think goes first?
I'm kind of rooting for Urban at this point. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, peace out, Urban. I'm sorry.
I'm out.
All right, so as a Vikings fan, do you like Zimmer? Do you want to see him go? I mean, what do you think?
I love Zimmer since he's got hired.
Big Zimmer guy.
Well, last year, our relationship shattered.
Oh.
I hated how he ran our defense. We were missing Kevin Stefanski more than I could ever imagine, which I'm surprised to say. So you're welcome, gentlemen. But this year, it hasn't gone much better. I give him 3 more weeks. If we go 3-0, I love him 2-1. If we go 1-2 over the next 3 games, I think he's gone, and he's going to be the first coach fired.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just 1-2 over the next 3 games. Keep an eye out.
Mike Zimmer or Stefanski?
That's not even close, Kevin Stefanski. Especially with the offense we have now, it wouldn't even be close. We have not a better dynamic in running backs with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison as far as Chubb and Hunt. I think you guys got the edge. But we have Thielen, Jefferson, and KJ Osborne, who looks like Jarvis Landry out there. I don't know if you watched our games lately, but he's a stud. So, no, yeah, if we had Stefanski, we're going to win the Super Bowl before the Browns win with Stefanski.
Okay. All right, so next game we have the 3-1 hometown Cleveland Browns. They are the underdogs in this one. They are +1.5 points. And Tone, they're traveling to L.A. to take on your boy, Justin Herbert, and the Chargers. Over-under for this game is 47.5 points. And Tone, I asked Nate earlier about the Vikings. We haven't really heard from you since Mountaineer, so I want to just talk to you for a second. Browns are 3-1. They just came off of an ugly win. What are your opinions on the Browns so far?
I'm very pleased, honestly. Okay. As a fan, 3-1's awesome. I think that we have some adversity, though. You know, Jarvis went down. He's a huge leader on our team, not just physically, but vocally. I really like Jarvis being, you know, a presence. He's down now. We're trying to fit Odell back in the offense, so I feel like Baker's just kind of not knowing where to go because, you know, we all notice it when Odell's there. He feels like he has to give him targets, etc. But I'm happy with the Browns. Even if they lose this week, I'll still be pleased with them. We got a tough division, but I think we can compete. We got the best rushing offense in the league, arguably the best offensive line in the league. Our defense is stepping it up. It's awesome being a Browns fan in 2021.
Pretty cool last year, too. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it was cool. It's been cool.
They made it. I mean, I give them mad respect, but yeah, for sure. But you're probably not going to like my take in this next game, unfortunately. Normally, I tried to stay away from a team that played Monday night going into Sunday on relatively shorter week, especially after winning and getting pretty excited about it against a tough Raiders team. But I think this is a perfect spot for the Browns to kind of falter. Being from Northeast Ohio, I see a lot of these Browns fans who I love it. I'm rooting for you guys, but just don't be Steeler fans, because I know it's been a while and you guys are letting them have it. But man, I think this is a huge time for the Browns to kind of suffer a loss and be humbled a little bit. Baker Mayfield only has 2 touchdown passes all year, and I'm pretty sure they are to the running backs, but I could be wrong. Maybe Jarvis has one. Kareem could have one. I don't know. I think the Chargers are going to win by at least a field goal. They'll keep it close. Just AJ did hit us with a little stat this morning in the group text about the Chargers, having the worst rushing defense in the league. So
I actually wrote down his text verbatim.
Oh, yeah.
Chargers have the 32nd ranked run defense, and the Browns led the NFL in rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, rushing first downs, and runs over 10 yards.
Yep, and there I go. I'm just taking the other side, and I don't even think that home field advantage matters for the Chargers. There's going to be probably 70% Browns fans there. So I just think I love Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler is the most underrated back in the league still. People are not putting respect on my guy's name, and I love this Chargers team. Mike Williams stepped up and wants to be the best receiver in the league. Okay. I'm cool with it. And Keenan Allen, obviously, Tone's super high on him, so I'm taking the Chargers, giving 1.5.
I love the Chargers. If you've been listening to the show,
yep.
You know way back when I picked them as my team to definitely make the playoffs over the win total. Been big on the Chargers before. It was cool. But I got to take the Browns plus 7.5.
First leg, or is this the second
leg? Send me the first leg of my last teaser. Okay. I'm only taking 2. The Browns, I already mentioned AJ's stats, so I don't have to mention it again, but I feel like everyone's kind of off the Browns. Baker didn't look great last week. He hasn't looked great in general. But for me, the Chargers have too much momentum right now. They're too hot. They're overvalued. I think they could definitely still win. Plus 7.5, I feel like the Browns should be able to keep it close. We got the best running backs, best offensive lines, like I mentioned. So for me, I don't know if the Chargers will win or lose, but I'm going to take the Browns plus 7.5.
I like it.
Okay. And you know, I have my running joke with you guys. Fantasy football, Christian Mangle has to consistently go up against the best wide receiver of the week. We went up into Monday Night Football. We were at plus 40. And we went up against Austin Eckler. And it was a squeaker, but we came through with our first win of the season.
Hey.
So we're on the board. But yeah, Austin Eckler, man. Me and Dakota both, we said, like, this isn't a guaranteed dub. This guy could go off, and he had like 30 something points. So
love it.
It was a close one. But yeah, we're on the board. Next game we got the 1-3 New York Giants plus 7 points. They are traveling to Dallas to take on Nate's Super Bowl prediction. Dallas Cowboys, over under 52.5 points. What do you guys think about this one?
I will start off by giving Nate props, because Cowboys look fantastic. I mean, their defense is playing. They spent all those draft picks on defensive players. It's paid off handsomely. We already know about Diggs. He's doing awesome. We got Micah Parsons, our rookie linebacker, doing awesome. I love the defense in this game. So I'm going to take the under. I'm going to take the under 52.5. I feel like both these teams, their offenses are ranked pretty good. Their defenses are just fine, but the line seems like it's asking you to take the over, so I'm going to take the under. It's a divisional game. I think it'll be close-knit. Should be tough. The one stat that's tough is, well, actually it helps in the under. The Cowboys actually, they've rushed the ball twice as many times as they passed it last week. They rushed it 40, passed it, I think, 22. So
Zeke looked great.
Zeke looked good, although he's banged up. Tony Pollard's a beast. almost leading the league in yards per carry, or, you know, average yards. So
right.
I'm going to take the under 52.5. I know both these teams have good offenses, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, the Cowboys' defense is so good they released Jalen Smith today because they are way better without him. And that's saying something, because I think this is his fifth year in the league, and he's been their top three defender every single year he's been in the league. So now I think Michael Parsons was like, well, excuse me, sir. But, no, thank you for the props. I knew this Cowboys team was going to be really good, especially if Dak stays healthy and Zeke's been receiving so much hate that he still has so much left in him. And I knew he was going to go out, and I said last week I will argue to death that CeeDee Lamb has all the weapons to be the best receiver in the league. Without a doubt, he's not best right now, but he has all the intangibles that he can. I mean, he has the quarterback. He's got Amari Cooper there. I think he could be the best receiver in the league. Maybe not this year. Maybe towards the end of next year. He's young, so I love this Cowboys team. I'm gonna end up passing because Daniel Jones has looked pretty good himself, and this rivalry isn't quite Eli Manning versus Tony Romo because it's pretty one sided as far as Dak Prescott goes. So I'm going to pass. I'm going to watch my Super Bowl pick just kind of coast through, and I'm going to be the smartest man in the world.
All right, we have the 2-2 San Francisco 49ers. They are plus 5.5 points, coming in with Trey Lance at quarterback, and they are taking on the Arizona Cardinals, who are 4-0, coming off of a huge win last week. Over-under for this game, 50 points.
So, I don't know if you noticed, I've been taking a lot of these games. I think this is my first back-to-back pass. I only say that because the Cardinals are bound to lose eventually. I know they're at home, and Trey Lance might end up starting, but Jimmy Garoppolo, they said there's a chance he'll play. If anything, it'd be a conditional pick if Trey Lance plays. I love the Cardinals just doing whatever they want with that team, maybe getting them by 3 touchdowns. But I don't even want to conditional it because I don't want to sound stupid, so I'm just going to pass another one. I think this is going to be a super fun game to watch. This Cardinals team is no joke, though.
Yeah, I also – Cardinals were another team I was high on. I placed money on them to make the playoffs, so I'm really excited about their start, but I can't take them. So I think the 49ers are definitely in position to cover this. Probably not win, but who knows?
Right.
Like I said, the Cardinals are bound to lose, so I'm going to pass this game. I'm excited to see how it plays out, but I will go ahead and just watch from the sidelines.
Good game just to watch as a fan, for sure.
Definitely.
All right, so speaking of good games to watch from home as a fan, we have this, in my opinion, is probably the game of the week, at least for me.
Hard to argue.
It's the 3-1 Buffalo Bills, and they are actually plus 3. They're traveling to Kansas City to take on the 2-2 Chiefs. Over-under for this game, 56.5 points.
So I will complete the second leg of my second teaser, and I'll take the Bills, plus 9.
I love that.
I can't not do it. I'm going to take the Bills, plus 9 with the Browns plus 7.5. I wanted to take the Bills plus 3 straight up. I got a little nervous about it. In my opinion, they're the better team. Chiefs defense is trash. Their offense and their offensive line, they're just trying to figure it out. And I know Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs win. I feel so comfortable taking the Bills plus 9, though. So I hope they can keep it close. Their offense is explosive. Their defense actually hasn't been too shabby either. So I'll go ahead and take the Bills plus 9 with the Browns plus 7.5.
So, AJ, what do we say about Kansas City? What does the KC stand for?
Chiefs can't cover.
Can't cover. And not only can they not cover spreads, they cannot cover offenses. Their defense stinks. So I don't know if you guys listen to Even Money or not. Quick shout out to our guys. Steve Fezzik loves the Bills. I am partial on that 3 points, especially with the Bills on the road. So I'm don't know if you guys remember or not, I have a second leg of my teaser, and it's going to be a little halfy half of a luck it in, because I'm nice. Also going to tease the Bills up the plus 9. I was really unfortunate that I went second in that rotation, but no, yeah, I love that Bills plus 9. I think the Bills are a better football team right now, and especially because the Chiefs have a terrible defense and their offensive line is still kind of learning to gel, and I think the Chiefs seem still overvalued immensely.
Yeah, I love that. I think the Bills could honestly win this game outright.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving me 9 points. I love that. That's a great pick, great leg of a teaser. I'm probably going to steal that as well for my weekend teaser. So Bills plus 9, let's make that a half of a luck it in.
Yeah, but we won't put it on the record books, but it's there. We had, remember when we had those three teasers, we had three legs the same, but none of them were on the same teaser.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure those were the three legs that won, though, but I could be wrong.
All right, so the last game of the week, we have the Monday Night Football game. We have the 1-3 Indianapolis Colts. They are plus 7 points. They're traveling to Baltimore to take on a 3-1 Ravens. Over-under for this game, 46 points.
So I still think the Colts are a good football team. I don't care what anybody says. I love Michael Pittman Jr. He's going to be a future great in the league. T.Y. Hilton's still there. He gets to play under him. Paris Campbell is a weapon. Jonathan Taylor's really starting to get going. And Nahi Himes, he's been solid as a backup back for them. And I'm not completely dismissive of this Colts team, despite their really rough start. And this Baltimore team, I'm super not sold on these guys. They find ways to win out of nowhere. They were two plays from being 0-3 before last week, which they looked all right. But they played a weak Broncos team, unfortunately. So I'm going to pass this game. Maybe it could be a good tease to take the Ravens down to one. But if anything, I would lean opposite. I think the Colts can cover that 7 easy, especially Monday night. Carson Wentz will be another week healthier, extra day rest. Yeah, I almost talked myself into it. I'll just make it a heavy lean. Throw that on the dock. We'll mention that. Heavy lean for the Colts.
I'm gonna pass too. I don't have a lean much on this game. I'm not sold on this Ravens team. I don't know what the hell to expect from this Colts team. They have a tough defense. Carson Wentz is banged up. I like Michael Pittman Jr. I like Jonathan Taylor, but I'm just going to go ahead and pass it.
All right. So we'll end the week with Monday Night Football with a double pass from the boys. So a new thing we're going to try, we're going to start with this episode, and we're going to continue moving on. We're going to basically just summarize and recap all the picks you gave to just clarify to the listeners, and we can timestamp it. They can fast forward to the picks if they'd like. We appreciate all listens. We recommend listening to the whole episode so you can hear our exact takes, but if you want to fast forward, here are the exact takes, and I'll go ahead and drop that for you guys. All right, we have Nate coming in with 8 takes on the week. We have 1 teaser, 7 straight bets. We have the Falcons minus 3 points. We have the Packers, Bengals, under 50.5 points for the game. We have a teaser. We have the Vikings minus 3, Bills plus 9. Steelers are minus 1.5 points. That's going to be the NLOD. Eagles plus 3.5 points. We have the Jaguars plus 4. Nate's rocking with the Bears, Raiders, under 44.5 points. And lastly, he's taking the Chargers, minus 1.5 points. That takes us to Tone. Tone, you also have 8 takes on the week. You're rocking with 2 teasers, 6 straight bets. We're going to start off with the teaser. We have the Seahawks plus 9, matched up with the Bengals plus 9. You're rocking with the Lions-Vikings over 49 points. Steelers minus 1.5, which actually makes it a luck it in. We have the Eagles-Panthers over 45. Texans plus 9. You are teasing the Browns plus 7.5, matched up with Bills plus 9. So you guys can make the Bills plus 9 as a half of a luck it in, if you will. You're taking the Giants-Cowboys under 52.5 points. And you are teasing, oh, I already mentioned that, teasing the Bills plus 9, Browns plus 7.5. Sorry about that. Lastly, luck it in. We have 1 luck it in for the week, as mentioned. Steelers minus 1.5 versus the Denver Broncos. So 8 takes each and 1 luck it in for the week. Good luck, boys.
Love it.
DK time, boys. Yeah, it was a really good week for the boys on DK. How'd you guys do?
I didn't do so good on my lineup on air, but I did end up getting $100 in one of my contests.
Nice.
And winning 15 in another. So I'm up. I'm looking good.
Okay.
Yeah, my team was also a little rough, but I actually ended up changing a little bit because I was on vacation and I had more time. And then I ended up coming second place in the one contest, so that was fun.
All right.
Hopefully it'll be a better, smoother lineup this week, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Nate, you want to go ahead and start us with the with your starting quarterback for DraftKings?
Yeah, for sure. I think this guy's been on every single DraftKings that we've mentioned this year, and I'm just going to go ahead and take my guy, Kirk Cousins. He is at 6,500, which I think that's still a relatively low price point if you want a quarterback to score big points. Not super mobile, but he's got a ton of weapons going against Detroit. I think they score a lot of points. So Kirk Cousins is my quarterback, 6,500.
I picked him multiple weeks, so I already like that. But for me, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I got to take my guy, Justin Herbert,
nice.
Jay Herb. He's nasty. He's 6,800. I think that he is undervalued. We're going to look back at this year, and he's probably going to be a top three, top four quarterback. But he's still priced, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm not exactly sure, but he's priced lower.
Right.
I'll take him for 6,800 all day.
Okay, yeah, and that would just you got a DK there, AJ?
No DK this week. Not I gotta this get week. I gotta win some money before I give you guys my
okay.
DK.
All right, fair
okay.
enough.
All right,
so
respectable.
I actually have Nick Chubb as my running back, just solely on the stats that AJ sent us this morning. So at 6,700, I think he's at a pretty low price point. He hasn't looked too good. I mean, he's looked fine the last 2 weeks, but he hasn't really got the numbers. So I think this week he really can 2 touchdowns, 120 yards. So. Yeah, Nick Chubb at 6,700 is an easy one.
Yeah, he was priced a little lower than normal. I really wanted to take him. I didn't take him. The only thing that deterred me is he doesn't get a lot of pass catches.
Right.
But, man, if he gets in the end zone, he always gets 80, 100 yards.
Easy.
Easy money. For my running back, I'm going to go ahead and take Damian Harris. He's 5,500.
Nice.
I can't help. I've taken him a couple times, but I think the Patriots will be back to a more running style this week. It just seems like good value, so
I like it.
I'll go ahead and take him at 5,500.
Yeah, for my second running back, I actually went a little higher. I didn't even realize. I got Najee Harris at 6,900. I went really heavy on running backs. They're playing this Denver team, which I already told you I have an NLOD for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I need someone to go off, and I think he's the guy. He had, what, 14 catches last week or something crazy, or maybe it was the week before, but, yeah, he's getting they're using him like Le'Veon Bell, so I like Najee Harris at 6,900. He's averaging 20 points a week in fantasy, so I'm going to take him because I think both those guys go over 7,000 throughout the season.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this DraftKings is, for me at least, I'm always looking for value. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for guys that are priced low but are going to most likely move up and vice versa, I guess. So for my second running back, he's actually a little more expensive. I'm going to take James Robinson, 6,000.
I just took him off too.
You know, it's hard not to because I feel like Jacksonville's finally starting to realize how talented he is. For some reason, Urban and the gang didn't understand it the first couple games, but in the last two games, he's at 20, 25 fantasy points. He's a stud. So for me at 6,000, I'll take him all day.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, for my first wide receiver, I'm just going to go with the guy who we always pair with, Kirk Cousins. No disrespect to Adam Thielen because he's a dynamic wide receiver, but I'm going to go with the guy who gets more targets. He's a little more pricey, so my team's super expensive, if you notice, the first four picks. I got $7,700 Justin Jefferson with the Vikings. He's playing up against this Lions defense, and I got a pair of guy with Kirk Cousins, and I think he gets the more targets than Thielen, so I'm going to take JJ at $7,700.
I love that duo. I took that a couple times this year. I had to stray away from JJ this week. I love him, but I want DJ Moore, so he's 7,500. He's having his breakout season here, and he is coming off a huge game. 2 touchdowns, 113 yards. His DK cost went from 6,600 to 7,500.
Wow.
I still think he might be undervalued. That's a wild thing.
Christian Mingo had to go up against DJ Moore this week.
Oh, that's
Shocker.
Why he did good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yikes. But for me, he's fourth in the league in targets. Averaging double-digit targets. Sam Darnold really likes him. I think I mentioned earlier, I think that game will go over. I think the Panthers will have some points. So give me DJ Moore, 7,500.
Yeah, so my team doesn't get too much cheaper from here. So I don't know how I did it, but I got a guy who I was just so high on talking about Dallas Cowboys. At 6,200, I have CeeDee Lamb against this Giants defense. I think he goes out and gets two tutties. At 6,200, I think he's pretty overvalued. I think I have three wide receivers that could easily be over 7,000 as far and my running backs. So, yeah, I'm pumped about this team.
Go ahead and look that in. So, hey. I also have CeeDee Lamb. The thing that was interesting about the Cowboys is last week, I mentioned this earlier, they ran the ball two times as many times as they passed it.
Right.
But they were playing the Panthers. The Panthers' defense is actually second as far as total passing yards goes. So maybe they understood that and they wanted to lean towards the run.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be the case this week in this divisional matchup. Give me CD Lamb, 6,200.
Let's go.
I don't know if he'll be much cheaper the whole year, so I'll take it all day.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead with my third wide receiver, who I just said I think he could be over 7,000 at some point. He's playing against the Packers team that's missing Jair Alexander. He is on my fantasy team. It's Ja'Marr Chase. He looked not so great in preseason, say he wasn't seeing the ball well, but my guy is seeing the ball just fine this year. And at 5,800, he's pretty undervalued in my opinion, especially against this beat-up secondary for Green Bay. So I'm going to take Ja'Marr Chase at 5,800. Then my team starts to get cheap.
Yeah, I had him in multiple. I'm going to do an early-only lineup, and he's going to be in there.
Right
so
on.
I love that pick. For my third wide receiver, I gotta pair my guy Keenan Allen with Justin Herbert. So he's 6,500. I love Keenan Allen. He is third in the league in targets. It's hard not to take him. A lot of people are looking at Mike Williams. Jared Cook had a good week last week, but
Eckler.
Keenan's true. So I know I've taken him a couple times, but at 6,500, he's still getting all those targets. I'll take him all day.
I remember that year he was getting 20-plus targets, it seemed like, every single game. He was on my fantasy team one year. I won the championship. I mean, he carried. It was awesome. I think he's still the same guy, though, so I love that.
I want to jump in here real quick and interrupt you guys. I have to keep it going. It's just a weekly thing now. I like to give out the Christian Mingles opponents' wide receivers from IDK.
Because they're stacked.
Because they're always going to go off. It's guaranteed. So, unfortunately, I am going up against Davante Adams, which really sucks.
Oh, I should take him.
He's going to be pretty expensive, so if you don't want to go that route, pretty good news. I am going up against Keenan Allen this week, so
yes.
So go ahead and just...
No.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to go nuts this
You'd
weekend.
Love to see
so
it.
Just go ahead and lock that in. You might as well. So, yeah, yes. Keenan Allen.
Love
great pick.
It.
Yeah, so I think that brings me to my tight end, unfortunately for the Christian Mingle team, but I'm going to go with Cameron Brate. He's 3,300. Rob Gronkowski is doubtful for this game. Got some beat-up ribs, and Cameron Brate's the next tight end up, and they're playing against this Miami team, so I think he gets a lot of targets this game. So I'm going with Cameron Brate at a cheap 3,300. I think that's a steal.
I also stole it. So yeah. I got Cameron Brate, 3,300, luck it in.
Let's go.
Gronk's out. That's a simple thing.
Oh,
you know,
he's out?
He's a, well, I presume.
Yeah, he's out.
I'm pretty sure he's not going to play. He's getting a ton of targets. It's hard not to take him. At that price point, I'll take a gamble on him. Give me Cameron Brate, 3,300.
Nice. So with my flex, I did a little something that I don't typically do. I have two wide receivers on the same team. I went low. I compared this guy to a low-level Jarvis Landry, who's still getting better. It's KJ Osborne. He has 17 catches already this year, and for only 3,800, I'm pretty sure he's got well over 25 targets. So he is our third wide receiver over D.D. Westbrook, and I think KJ gets more targets than Tyler Conklin, and we don't really have a good receiving back. So him in the flex with J.J. and Adam Thielen, I'm just kind of backing up my money here and getting KJ Osborne. So if they both have a good game, I'm getting triple the points on my team. So I'm kind of going out of my comfort zone, but I'm taking KJ Osborne because he's 3,800. So I think
okay.
That's a good pick.
I feel that. For my flex, I'm going to go ahead and take another wide receiver, Brandon Cooks, 6,100. In my opinion, he's too good of a wide receiver one to not be included in his lineup. He's 10th in targets. We know that Houston doesn't have a great offense or a great quarterback, but they look for this guy. He makes big plays. At 6,100, I think it's a bargain. I'll take him at my flex.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's all they have. It's so sad. And Davis Mills, he's the only thing that scares me about that. But I think this week he bounced back, and I could see him getting 15 targets out of nowhere, maybe getting 9, 10 catches. That's easy. I love that pick. But with my defense, I'm going with the fourth player, I guess, if you want to refer it to as that, for the same team. It's going to this is the Vikings defense. They're 3,000. They're going against Detroit. I know Jared Goff's got this offense playing a lot better, and DeAndre Swift's out there, and their wide receivers haven't looked too bad, even though they're not great. And I don't know if Amendola's playing or not, but I think the Vikings defense has, for $3,000, the best chance to score a ton of sacks, maybe a few turnovers. So as long as they don't give up a ton of points, I'm just fine with spending $3,000 on the Vikings defense.
Okay, I dig that for sure. For my defense, I'm going to go on the bottom of the barrel. Give me Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I like that,
though. I mean, they're at home. They're playing Tennessee. Julio.
I like that.
A.J. Brown might be out again. You can strategize to stop King Henry. At 2,100, I think that's a bargain. I mean, in my opinion.
They got good linebackers.
I think that's a fantastic pick. I could eat my words. You could fade it for sure, but I'll go ahead and take Jacksonville 2,100.
That's a really good strat, though, for DraftKings, because typically you don't expect a defense to go off for 20. It's very rare on rare occasions. You're just hoping that they don't give up a ton of points, that you're in the negatives. If you can get anywhere between 5 to 10 points on your defense, that's fine. You're fine.
Or even just not negative. So exactly. That's my strategy. Yeah. If you follow, you'll see I pretty much always take one of the lowest defenses. Right. I take a lower tight end, and then I get three good wide receivers, yeah, a good flex,
ton of value,
and then two value running backs and a value quarterback. But yeah, we all have our own strategies. It's the cool thing about it is, as the more you do it, you kind of develop what your own strategy is.
Exactly.
And so, it's fun.
Yeah,
so
I'm relatively the same way. I just always find one value guy in there that's less than 4,000, and I'll throw him on my lineup. And then maybe I will splurge a little bit on a defense, just hoping for a defensive touchdown. You know what I mean? But, no, I like that pick against Tennessee because, obviously, their offense hasn't done jack shit. So, no, yeah, that should conclude our DraftKings. We'll timestamp it and hope you guys enjoyed it. And we've been winning money. Why don't you guys want to win money? Listen.
Yeah. So, we did our takes. We did our DraftKings. I know we've already went longer than we want to. Just a real quick question, though, for anyone out there that's doing Survivor Leagues, do you guys have any teams that you're taking for your Survivor League this week?
I'm out personally, but if I were still in and you still had teams like the, obviously you probably have the Vikings available, or I think the Vikings personally the only team I can think of that you wouldn't have already taken that is on the board right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings could be good. I mean, obviously there's a couple teams you assume are going to win, like the Buccaneers, but you might want to save them for a more strategic situation.
Or if you already taken them. Right,
yeah, or you may have already taken them at this point. You probably have already taken the Patriots. They're -9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough. I don't see any teams that...
Yeah, I think this was... I mean, as far as spreads go, it's the Patriots or the Vikings at this point.
Right.
Both
okay. Or the Buccaneers.
Yeah, or the Bucks.
They're -10.
Right.
So.
Yeah, just so Buccaneers, Vikings, Patriots. I think those are the three teams. If you have any,
I mean, you could get filthy and take the Falcons, because how many times do you want to take the Falcons? So I'm not saying, I'm not recommending do that, because
London.
Yeah, I'm not recommending that, but I am saying, you know, you want to look for those teams that are trash. If they have a chance to win,
yeah,
you might want to consider Jacksonville. I'm not recommending you do that.
Las Vegas.
I'm just saying
potentially
that's like the kind of strategy you might want to take with some of these survivors.
Yeah. I
look
think
for trash teams
week,
that have
though
a chance to win. So
yeah, this is a tough week that you could probably pull that off.
Okay. All right. Well, with that being said,
what did he say?
Oh. Right. Do you want to go first?
I have no idea.
What
Alvin
did
Kamara
he say? So Patterson had 3 receiving touchdowns last week. Second time that's happened this year. Which running back holds the record for most receiving touchdowns in a game? Unfortunately, no feedback on Twitter. We did get feedback on Facebook. But let me go ahead and get your guys' answers.
Alvin Kamara.
Is it relatively recent? Last 15?
Yeah. Last 10 years.
I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell.
Okay. All right. Le'Veon Bell, Alvin Kamara. We did get a Facebook answer from Greg Digman.
Okay.
Hey.
And his answer was...
Shout out, Greg.
Jamal Charles. So... With that being said, LCP 2, DSAVE 4.
Ooh,
yikes.
Who was it?
Correct answer was Jamal Charles.
Hey.
Oh, you got
Hey, shout out Greg.
Yeah,
shout out to Greg for
Greg
getting that
Jamal
answer.
Jamal Charles. Interesting.
Very
never,
nice choice.
2013.
Okay.
Very nice.
I like that.
Yeah, all right, 2-4. We'll get him back.
Yep. So, all right, well, appreciate the social media interaction, and that's going to wrap up What Did He Say for the week.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. We'll wrap it up real quick. If you haven't yet, obviously, I'm sure you have. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, at Luck Changers Podcast. Twitter's at Luck Changers. If you want to DM us, go ahead, shoot us a message about any game, any spread, any fantasy decision, DraftKings, anything that you want to know, any personal questions, you can shoot us on there, if anything about us. We love the interaction. If ever we post on social media, we love when you respond or say something, give us a like, anything. We appreciate that more than you know. We remember, we recognize. So thank you guys so much. And if you have any questions, we have a Gmail, and that's at luckchangerspodcast@gmail.com. So if you have any sort of question that you don't really feel comfortable showing who you are on as a DM, just go ahead and shoot us an email anonymously. We'll throw you on the show if you want. If you don't, we won't. But we'll respond to you every time. So thank you guys so much for listening. Episode 50. I couldn't imagine how far we've gotten since we started this whole thing. So I appreciate you guys more than you know. So thank you so much to AJ, Tone. Do you say anyone got anything?
Shout out to the two of you guys. Shout out to Nate and Tone for being host and co-host of 50 episodes in. Such an awesome sports betting podcast. It's come a long way. Congratulations, guys. Keep it up.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for sticking on board and being a part of it. I couldn't imagine a better team that we assembled together, and I just look forward to it every week.
Right. Yeah. I just definitely want to shout out you guys. Even DSA, our new addition.
Yep.
Just shout out the guys. You know, it takes a certain amount of commitment to do this week in, week out, and try and provide the best we can for you guys. And it's just a good time. So shout out my guys. Love you guys, and happy we made it to 50.
Appreciate y'all more than you know. The work isn't unnoticed, so I appreciate it. And I just I love this team. I love this podcast. I hope you guys do too. As far as your host Nate, co-host Tone, moderator AJ, editor DSA, we are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Moderator out.
Adios.
Peace, buddy.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.